Well, congregation, if you would take your Bibles this morning and turn to the book of Ephesians, first of all, Ephesians chapter number 6, and then we're going to turn to our text this morning in the book of Proverbs in chapter 22. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. This is God's holy word. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. That is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. And then let us turn to the book of Proverbs and chapter 22. And verse number 6. Train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it. The grass of the field withers and the flower fades, but this, the word of the living God, abides forever. Praise his holy name. Well, today is a special service because of the sacrament of baptism. And so we have this special text before us so that we might encourage one another this morning in the way of Christian parenting and in the way of the covenant promises in our lives. And I want to begin by bringing an illustration or a truth before you, and that is in regards to Sinclair Ferguson. Sinclair Ferguson has written a series of workbooks to help parents teach their children about Jesus and about Bible doctrines. And the goal for writing them is put this way. We want a winning combination for our children's lives. And Jesus and His truth in my children's lives is that winning combination. What a team. That's the winning combination, no doubt about it. And these books were written to help parents train up their children to go with the Lord Jesus Christ. The famous Scots missionary, John G. Patton, the missionary to the Hebride Islands, he confessed in his autobiography that he had always known Jesus Christ lovingly and savingly. That from a child on, he had always known Jesus Christ, that there was never a time that he did not know Jesus as his personal Lord and Savior. And in his autobiography, he contributes to the grace of God and the Holy Spirit, but also in his autobiography, he is so thankful for his parents, who were God's tools that God used in his life to bring him to faith. He writes how his father lived and spoke the gospel at home. He writes how his mother taught him the life, forgiveness, and truth that is to be found in the Lord Jesus Christ. I think that Patton's parents knew the winning combination. They knew that the winning combination in their children was their children and Jesus. And so they taught their children. So John G. Patton's parents lived Ephesians 6, verse 4, Fathers, bring up your children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And Patton's parents also lived Proverbs 22, verse 6, Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Well, we want to look at our text this morning from Proverbs 22, verse 6, and we want to explore two things, apply two things to our lives before we come to the sacrament of baptism. One is, we need to remember that the responsibility given to Christian parents, we need to remind ourselves of the responsibility given to us as mums and dads, and even as grandparents. Secondly, we need to remind ourselves of the principle that is given to Christian parents. Let's begin with the responsibility. Notice chapter 22, verse 6, in the first part, that first phrase says, train up a child in the way he should go. This first phrase answers two crucial questions One, who is responsible for the nurture of God's children? And two, what is involved in this nurture? Well, who is involved in bringing up God's children? Well, you are. You, Christian parents, have been given children by God. The fruit of the womb is God's reward, and God has called you to raise His children that He has given to you. Proverbs shows this many, many times. The parental duties are summarized for us in Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 8, where we read this: "Hear, my son, your father's instruction, and forsake not your mother's teaching." So the parental duty that is given to us by God is instructing our covenant children, teaching our children. And this is repeated over 30 times in the book of Proverbs. The prayer of Hezekiah in Isaiah 38, verse 19, "The father makes known to the children your faithfulness." And the gospel call on parents in Ephesians 6, verse 4, to bring up our children in the nurture and admonition of Christ, sums up God's will, God's word, for us as Christian parents. The Christian home is one of the Holy Spirit's schools to bring sinners to faith in Jesus Christ as He uses parents to teach children God's way. This is all through the Bible. For instance, in Genesis 18, verse 19, God says that I have chosen Abraham that he may command his children and his household after him to keep the way of the Lord by doing righteousness and justice, so that the Lord may bring to Abraham what he has promised him. Think of Deuteronomy chapter number 6. This gives us God's will for us as parents, that we are to teach our children diligently of the commandments of God. Those words of God that are upon our hearts, we are to bring them to our children, talk of them when we sit in our house, talk with our children when we walk by the way, when we lie down, when we rise up. Our whole home is to be a home where we teach our children God's way. We think of Colossians chapter 3, verse 21. Fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, lest they become discouraged, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Left to itself, a boat is doomed to float aimlessly and finally to crash on rocks. Well, God has never intended that His children, whom He has given to you, be left to themselves to wander aimlessly in this world with no direction, because the end of that is destruction. You, parents and grandparents, you are given the blessing and responsibility of parenting. So that answers the question of who. But then we come to what. What is involved in our parenting? Well, first of all, God says here, train up a child. Now, the word for train means to dedicate, to initiate them in a specific way. The word kind of can mean this. You know, when you come to a bank and there is the greeter at the bank, and the greeter comes and says to you, hi, how can we help you today? And you say, well, I'd like to make a deposit. And then the greeter at the bank takes you and puts you in the line. They narrow you down to step over into the line to wait your turn till you come to the teller. That's the idea. You're dedicated in a specific direction. You're initiated in a specific way. This word was used at the dedication of the temple of God, where the temple of God was trained, was dedicated, was initiated to serve God, to be a place of the worship of God's people. Well, child here in this phrase means child, from infancy to young adulthood. So this command here, and it is a command in chapter 22, verse 6 of Proverbs, this command means, parents, You are commanded to dedicate your child's thinking, your child's loving, your child's conduct, and your child's hopes in, and this brings us to number two. So our first responsibility of what we are to do is to train up a child, dedicate our child, initiate our child in a specific way, in the way that he should go. That is, in a particular way. Well, what is this particular way? Some have said it means train a child according to his individual bent or individual gifts or individual inclination. So, for instance, if a daughter likes math, teach her accounting and so on. Or if a son likes mechanics, teach him mechanics. Now, this is not a Christian interpretation. This is not the historical interpretation of this proverb. This interpretation actually is from medieval Judaism. And this is not what this proverb has in mind when we look at the whole of the book of Proverbs of God's word to us. So let's explore this phrase to understand its meaning. There are three parts to it. Part number one is wisdom. Train up a child in the way he should go. This is wisdom because we find that wisdom is the whole subject of the book of Proverbs. We are taught how to walk in wisdom in this book, and this is part of it. So we know that when we train up a child in the way he should go, that's wise. That's wisdom. And that is, we are wise when we train up our child in the way that they should go, and the way that they should go is the way of wisdom. So we are to direct our children towards the wisdom of God. We are wise parents if we teach our children God. We are wise parents if we teach our children God's word. Children are wise when they learn God's word because God's word is the wisdom of God, and the wisdom of God is Jesus Christ. He's the subject of the whole of Scripture. Christ is the very wisdom of God. The book of Proverbs even says that over and over again, particularly in Proverbs chapter 8. Christ is the wisdom of God. He is wiser than Solomon. So we are to direct our children wisely, which is to direct them to Jesus Christ, so that our children learn the wisdom of God, which is Jesus Christ. Part number two of this phrase involves duty. The word way or path in the Hebrew refers to the duty of a child. Think of all the duties listed in the book of Proverbs. They are motions of God's grace, motions of God's blessing. They are calls of God's mercy. To walk in God's way, to walk in God's will, to walk in God's path with regard to work, how we should work, with regard to marriage, how we should live in our marriage, with regards to our sexuality, how we should live our sexuality, regards to how we speak, is a blessing of God's grace to our world. Because when we read of those things, the ways of wisdom in the book of Proverbs, it's God's word to us. So we remember, a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold and pictures of silver. And so we remember this word from God, which is wise, that we should not go into a harlot. We remember also this word from God, which is wise, that, you know, we should consider the ant and not be lazy in our lives. See, this is the duty that we as God's people are called to do, to live in this wisdom. So we've looked at this part of wisdom in this phrase, the duty in this phrase, and now we need to look at ability in this phrase. Notice it says there, train up a child in the way he should go. Now, literally, this phrase reads, upon the mouth of his or her way. Upon the mouth of his or her way. What does this mean? This seems rather odd. What's going on? Well, this was the Hebrew way of expressing duty and ability. You know, from Deuteronomy chapter 6, we know that we are to train our children in the grace and ways of God throughout our whole lives. We also know from 1 Corinthians 7, verse 14, that because of the faith of the parents, our children are sanctified. Our children are covenant children. They are holy. We also know that Acts chapter 2, verse 39 tells us that the promise of the gospel is unto us and unto our children. And so we know a covenant child like Clara this morning, in a special way, already has her whole life and her whole faith mapped out for her in God's holy word. And her faith and her life is this call to believe upon Jesus Christ, to repent of sin in her life, and to live out the grace of the gospel in her life. Well, from infancy on, Clara is to be narrowed in this way, is to be dedicated in this way. From infancy on, all our covenant children are to be narrowed, dedicated to Jesus. And the parents' duty is to teach them Christ's gospel and Christ's way of life. A parent's duty is to teach our children the Great Commission of salvation in Christ and to observe all that Jesus commanded. But how are parents to teach them? Well, the answer is according to the mouth of His way. That is, according to their ability. You know, you feed your infants milk from the breast, and then you feed your infants baby food, and then you feed your infants solid food, and on. You feed them according to their ability. Well, we do the same in the gospel. If they are infants, train them God's word on an infant's level. If they are toddlers, on a toddler's level. If they are teenagers, on a teenager's level, and so on. And this is what that first phrase means. This is our responsibility to train up our children in the way that they should go. Teach them the wisdom of Jesus Christ according to their ability. Well, let's make this a little practical this morning. First of all, parents, grandparents, know this. Know that you are an instrument of God. Love parenting for Christ's sake. Embrace your calling. It is the will of God for you, if you have children, to be a parent. And you should not want to get rid of that calling. You should embrace it with love to Jesus. Number two, teach your children in the great truths of Scripture. Do not hide from your children the praiseworthy deeds of God, particularly the life and death and resurrection of God's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Parents, remember this, that Jesus is effective. Jesus is winsome. Jesus is beautiful. Jesus is strong and glorious, so strong and glorious, to lead our children away from danger, to lead our children away from foolishness, to lead our children away from wicked women and wicked men, from lying, from laziness, and to bring our children to true humanity, to live a life of freedom and joy and abundance in the gospel. Christ is so winsome, so powerful in His grace and in His mercy. If you bring your children to Him, the power of the Holy Spirit will use Christ and His Word in their hearts and captivate them more than anything else in this world. Christ and His gospel brings them to love life, to love obedience, to love church, to love their parents, to love their siblings. Bring them to Christ. Teach them Christ. Thirdly, part of this teaching includes disciplining your children. Discipline your child. You know, God's word gives us this wisdom as well in the book of Proverbs. He who spares the rod hates his son, but he who loves him is careful to discipline him. So, use their inevitable disobedience as an opportunity to bring your child to the cross, to the work of Christ and the atonement, to the forgiveness of God. But do not shove your children's problems under the carpet. Do not stick your head in the sand about your children's disobedience. No, discipline them. Discipline them in a godly, Christ-centered, gospel way by showing them their sin, but by also pointing them to the Savior, just like we do here in church. We read the law, we look to God, we see our sin, but then we come to Christ. And that's what you need to do with your children too. Fourthly, pray with and for your child. You know, Satan is a roaring lion. He wants to consume your children and bring them away from the covenant promises signed and sealed to them in the gospel of baptism, or in baptism, excuse me. Satan is a roaring lion. But then there's also your children's pride. You know, your children's pride and sinful nature that is in them. So you've got to pray for them because they were born altogether in sin. So pray. Pray they would be given faith in Christ so that Satan would be hated and that Jesus would be loved. And so, parents, practically speaking, embrace your calling. You're an instrument of God the Holy Spirit to bring the gospel to your children. Teach your children. Thirdly, discipline your children. Fourthly, pray for your children. And then last of all, believe the gospel for yourself. Do you believe in Jesus Christ? In other words, do you have a childlike faith in God and His holy word? Do you trust in His Son and the risen Lord? You see, you and I as parents and grandparents, we're to look unto Jesus with childlike faith. There is no confidence in the flesh. There is no hope for our redemption in mankind or in money or in materialism or any other ism in our world. Our hope is Jesus. And so we, like little children, are to come unto Jesus, looking unto Him as our author and our finisher, the author and finisher of our faith. And so you, parents, as a human person needing Jesus Christ, have childlike faith in Jesus and then bring your children with you. In other words, I can remember in Nova Scotia when I was pastoring there, you know, we had this family and this family would send their children to Sunday school and send their children to church, but they would not come. And so I went to them over the years and asked them, why are you not coming? They would come every once in a while, but they wouldn't be faithful. But they made sure that their children came. So I talked with them, and they said, well, I want my children to believe in Jesus. But then, do you believe in Jesus? Well, not enough to be faithful to His worship and to read the Bible and pray and care. So, of course, the children did follow suit, when they got older, they were not faithful to church anymore. Parents, believe the gospel for yourself. Fall upon your knees and constantly receive the forgiving grace of God, the love of God, the mercy of God, the help of God, the compassion of God. So this is the responsibility that we have. But now we come, secondly, to the principle given to Christian parents. Notice the last phrase, even when he is old, he will not depart from it. Now, the book of Proverbs is a book of proverbs, and most of the proverbs in the book of Proverbs are not promises. Now, there are promises in the book of Proverbs. We read one of those promises earlier in the words of assurance, that if all of us confess our sin, that God is faithful and just to forgive us of our sin. And so there are promises found in the book of Proverbs. But the proverbs in the book of Proverbs are not promises, they're principles. So let me say this again. Whenever we find a promise from God in Jesus Christ in any other part of the Bible, and that promise is then found in the book of Proverbs, then that is a promise in the book of Proverbs. However, many of the things written in the book of Proverbs are proverbs or principles. They're not necessarily promises or guarantees. For instance, the Bible says in Proverbs 3 that if we give to the Lord, that our barns will be filled to overflowing. Now, that is a general principle, but it's not always true. It's up to God's will. Sometimes some of you are giving faithfully to the church, and yet you're still struggling financially, because God is sovereign over that principle. Well, here we have a principle as well. Proverbs are general principles, accurate truths of the basic laws of life, about the way life usually is because of God's goodness and because of God's will. In other words, God is sovereign over all of life, including each proverb. So our text here is a proverb, and it's true generally. Notice the phrase here, train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it. That phrase, not depart, is in the emphatic. It means the teaching will be stamped upon his or her personality. That is, generally, our children will own the faith, will love Jesus Christ, will stay in the gospel for themselves as we parents live out Ephesians 6:4. Parents, fathers, bring up your children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Do not provoke them to wrath, but bring them up in Christ. Our text gives us this hope, because you see, at the back of it is God's promise of the gospel to our children. You see, the Bible teaches that children of believing parents are promised the holy gospel. Acts 2:39, for the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself. Remember Scripture's teaching of the covenant, that God has always included the children of believers in his gospel promise. We baptize this morning for this very reason. We baptize our infants because the Word of God tells us the promise of Jesus is to us as parents, and also to our children. We believe God's promise. We believe God's word. So in obedience to God, we come to this holy sacrament, bringing our children with us, giving them the sign and seal of Jesus. You see, a bedrock feature of the covenant of grace is that it encompasses families. Thus, the gospel of Jesus Christ goes from generation to generation to generation. Genesis 17, there God said to Abraham, I am a God to you and to your offspring after you. We are the children of Abraham with faith in Jesus Christ. That same promise is to us. God is our God and our children's God after us as well. In the new covenant promise of Ezekiel chapter 37, we read this. They shall dwell in the land that I gave to my servant Jacob, where your fathers lived. They and their children and their children's children shall dwell there forever. And David, my servant, shall be their prince forever. See, we have this promise. Our children, our children's children will be underneath Jesus Christ forever because the gospel is promised to them. And then, of course, we don't have to scratch our heads as to why the King of David, Jesus, the Son of David, Jesus, said, let the children come to me. For of such is the kingdom of God. And of course, we have Ephesians 6:1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right, because children, you children, are God's children, covenant children. You belong to the Lord, so you are members of this church. You obey your parents in the Lord Jesus. Now, all these promises do not just promise our children special status. No, they promise to our children the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible teaches that God's promises come true. So this is why we have this wonderful principle. This is why we have this wonderful principle. The Bible knowledge of God's promises to our children bring us this proverb, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. In other words, more often than not, children who have been reared by loving, faithful parents who have patiently and consistently taught them God's truth and ways through instruction, through discipline, through prayer, and through loving the gospel themselves and living that gospel, those children will grow up to believe in Jesus and love Jesus. And so we come again to this point. The Bible teaches that Jesus uses us to bring his promises to pass. This verse is Jesus' wisdom to you parents. Before we come in a few moments to this sacrament, parents, receive the grace of God by the power of the Holy Spirit that comes to us through the sacrament of baptism and then after the sacrament of Holy Communion, and take this wisdom for you. Parents, train your child in the way he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it. If he has spoken it, then we who are in Jesus are to respond to his word with the obedience of faith through the enabling power of the Holy Spirit and say, yes, Lord, we will bring up our children, the children you have given to us, in your way. We will narrow them down to you. We will initiate them in your way. We will direct them and dedicate them to you to follow Christ, because the promise of the gospel is to them. But is salvation not by grace alone, through Christ alone? Oh yes, our children are not saved by our parenting. They are saved by Jesus. However, God uses us to bring this to pass, just as God uses the church to bring the gospel of Jesus to the world. So parents, your Christian home must be soaked with God and his gospel. We all have living room windows, and we open them to let the sun shine in. Well, we are all to have faith in Christ and then open the Son of God to our children and let him shine in. Our children have been blessed with his gospel promise. That's why we baptize them, and at their baptism, they're engrafted into Christ. So now may you teach them what they have been promised and trust that they will rise up as servants for Christ too. May all our Christian homes today have Christ as Lord, where children are trained in the scriptures and gospel at every age to their ability, so that in their old age, they will be full of faith to raise another godly seed for the church. Amen. Let us pray.